Hello, everybody. So we're going to change gears a little bit, talk about a study that I have been involved with researchers from Virginia Tech University as well as TGen North here in Arizona. And we've been looking at antibiotic resistance of indicator bacteria isolated from recycled versus potable water systems. I'm sure this is review for everyone in the room, but water recycling is, you know, taking all of the water that goes into the municipal wastewater treatment plant, treating it to acceptable levels, and then here in Arizona, it's perfectly legal to use this recycled water to irrigate public areas as well as private areas and edible food crops. So one reason that this type of research is very important is we are now examining very closely the possibility of direct potable reuse sometime in the very near future. You've probably been here long enough to realize that Arizona is a very dry state. Some of the surrounding states have been driven to direct potable reuse by severe drought. And what we're trying to do is make an educated decision in Arizona, not to be driven to this because of an emergency, but to do the research that's needed to find out that this water is completely safe. So the basis of this NSF-funded study is shown on this slide. So this is data generated by Amy Pruden at Virginia Tech University, and she sampled within a recycled water distribution system in Flagstaff, Arizona. She assayed the points of entry into the system, which would be the bars at the left of the graphs, and the points of use of the system, which would be the bars to the right of the graph. And what she found is that out of the six antibiotic resistance genes she sampled for, she found that they were detectable at the point of use, but not exiting the treatment plant, meaning that they developed somewhere along the way. And this was a notable concern to the city of Flagstaff, who was using this water to replenish one of the main rivers that runs through the city. But Dr. Pruden's report also said that, you know, these are genes. She really could not make any guesses as to whether these genes belong to living resistant organisms. And in order to develop good risk assessment models, we had to go a step further and look at living organisms within these systems. And she also said that perhaps she thought in her report, she stated that we need to also compare this recycled water to potable water distribution systems, because is it the recycled water in and of itself, or could it be all water that was having this bacterial regrowth? So once again, I know this is, everybody in this room knows this, but the reason that she stated in her report that we need to look at potable water systems is because antibiotic resistance is natural. It's everywhere. It's found everywhere in the environment. Because the earliest antibiotics were naturally produced, bacteria have developed this capacity over millennia, and we know that these genes have been found in places that man has never touched years long before man ever entered that area. So we know that these genes developed in the absence of selective pressure, not that human beings' efforts haven't made it worse, but we know that these genes did evolve, and the current hypotheses are because they evolved in response to either a detoxification mechanism or resource competition. So this NSF-funded study, what we did is we got four municipalities on board. These are from all points in the United States. There are two municipalities in Arizona, but also the very far west and the south eastern United States. And what we did is the utility partners sampled their potable and reclaimed systems at the influent coming into the treatment plant, the point of entry point of entry into the reclamation, into the piping system after treatment, and 5 samples were collected at the point of use, water exiting the system. So the team sampled each water sample for antibiotic resistance genes. We looked at water chemistry, water age, metagenome of both the bulk water and the biofilms that were formed inside of the distribution systems. And my part of the study was to look at the cultural resistance of E. coli and enterococci that we isolated from these water samples. Each of the isolates that I isolated was also sequenced to look for resistance genes conferring to the resistance that I was able to identify by culturing. So I'm going to talk about one of the sampling systems. We're calling it System A because none of the municipalities wishes to be identified at this time, or we promise not to identify them. So in System A, the potable water source is a combination of surface and groundwater. The reclaimed water, there are 2 reclaimed water distribution plants. We sampled from both with a final disinfectant of chlorine. So sampled 4 times throughout the year. You'll notice that we didn't sample in the winter. Generally in Arizona, recycled water is not as available for sampling. A lot of the systems that we were sampling from are turned off in the winter. So once the isolation confirmation and culturing of bacteria was mine, metagenomics and qPCR took place at Virginia Tech, and the sequencing of isolates took place at TGen in Flagstaff. But we quickly ran into a problem. This was completely unanticipated based on the number of resistance genes that we knew was in the potable and the recycled water distribution system. Massive amounts of bacterial resistance genes, but we were unable to culture E. coli or enterococci. Once again, this is the potable water system. All the numbers, we were using IDEX, so all of the numbers are MPN per 100 mil. We did have one hit at point of use. You can see at the bottom of the graph, but when we confirmed whether those isolates were enterococci by PCR, we could not confirm that. So that number will go back down to less than 1 as an unconfirmed hit. So we were able to get quite a bit of bacterial counts from the reclaimed system. Not surprisingly, the highest numbers obviously are in the influent, the untreated water entering the treatment plant. But generally, the water at the point of use was very, very good quality. We did have numbers of 2 MPN. What I should say before I go further is that the other 3 treatment facilities had very similar numbers. We are just really rather, gobsmacked, I'd say, by the quality of the drinking water that we found from these 4 utilities. We truly expected to get some hits. Did not happen. So, but the resistant isolates that we found, what we found is that in the influent to the drinking water system, the E. coli had the highest resistance to erythromycin. Recycled water. The enterococcus had high levels of resistance to the 3 antibiotics that were tested. These levels of resistance are similar to what is found in the literature. multiple antibiotic resistance. Not surprisingly, we did find that up to 70% of the isolates were resistant to at least E. coli isolates were resistant to at least one antibiotic, and some the enterococci showed slightly higher levels of multiple antibiotic resistance, two or three. So it's, however, I do have to note that some of the data that I'm showing, you can see by what from what we got out of the system, this is based on very few isolates. When we publish this, we are going to have to find a way to deal with the fact that we were able to get so few isolates out of the system. So the next steps that we are going to be doing for this study, in fact, this upcoming week, we will be having a conference call with all of the participants on the study. So we're going to start discussing what we've got a massive amount of data, and so what are we going to do with this? Well, one thing that we would like to do is compare all of the genomic sequences, those sequenced isolates, to the cultural data to see if, when you find an isolate that is resistant by culturing, is that gene also there? Because in some studies it isn't necessarily there, and so what we would like to find out is if one is a better, a more accurate, or more useful than the other. What we'd also like to do is source track some of the isolates that I found out of the system to find out where they came from. The initial look at the data of these isolates that we found is that the isolates that are coming out of the recycled water system are not of human origin. And that's a very good finding for meaning that what doesn't appear to be happening is regrowth within the system, we hope. But a lot more work to be done on that. And then looking at the development of resistance with water age and water quality, and look at the metagenomic and cultural data to see if there's any way that we can predict whether antibiotic resistance is going to be a problem in the water leaving the point of use. So hopefully I'll have a lot more to report next year. And I would like to acknowledge the NSF Environmental Engineering Program, and of course the cooperating utilities who've been just wonderful, and my collaborators, although, oops, I misspelled Mark Edwards' name, I'm sorry. I have to say that Mark was not around a lot this year. So does everybody know what Mark was doing this summer? Yeah. Yeah, so he was pretty much gone. He'll be on our conference call next week, but he was off being the movie star this summer. So thank you very much, and I hope that it wasn't frustrating, because I know that I didn't have a lot to show you yet, but I anticipate that I will next year. Any questions? Yes? Yes, as a matter of fact, that's an interesting question, because the utility A on our first sampling had a pretty significant hot spot of regrowth, and we found that corresponded with the point where chlorine had dissipated. And so they actually installed a new booster station at that point in the pipe, and we have not found a problem in the subsequent samplings. So the utility is very happy with us. So. Yes, sir. The source of the resistance, or the source of the bacteria?
The source of resistance.
So we were not actually looking at the source of the resistance. What we were looking at, and I'm sorry if I didn't explain it clearly, what we would like to know is if we isolate a living bacteria from the system, it would be bad if it were due to regrowth within the system. It would almost be better if there was, you know, some sort of a leak that was detected, and that's how the bacteria got in. So what we would like to do is identify whether it could have been a bacteria that regrew in the system or whether it was a bacteria that came from elsewhere. So in that case, we're looking at the whole bacteria, not the antibiotic resistance. So I think I'm out of time.
Yes, any more questions about the time at the last
Thank you.